one with the cosmic hum. To be one with everything. That's really what this whole teaching is about, that we talk about. So a fabulous start to this morning. You know, as I was thinking about my talk this morning at 4 a.m., waiting for maybe my son to come home, but then getting a text. Poor kid, throw him under the bus. To be 25 and living back with his parents must be a challenge, I'm sure. So today is Palm Sunday, and then Thursday is what is called Maundy Thursday. So that is the day that Jesus had the Last Supper, and working through that with his disciples, where he took the time as they came in to wash their feet, and how symbolic that has been throughout. And here at CSL, a lot of our teachers are based on the thought that Jesus was a master teacher. So that's why we bring him into the room, is because Ernest Holmes studied, he actually has a whole book written about the thoughts of Jesus and about how he is a great teacher. And then, of course, Good Friday, which isn't necessarily good, really, when Jesus is taken to the cross. And then on Sunday, Easter Sunday, next Sunday, where he comes back. So this whole month and this year is all about a grand rising. And in as it being on a Palm Sunday, it's where we can step out into faith, moving through fear, and into that place of love, into that place of transformation. So that is what this week, I think, is calling us, whether it's Christian, Buddha, whatever the religion is. It's about calling us forward about how we want to show up in the world. So my talk title this week was New, Now, What's Next? And a lot of us get, I'll just speak for myself, actually. I don't want to do the proverbial we. I know I get caught up in, okay, what is mine to do? What am I going to show? How am I going to show up in this world? And how can I be that bigger expression and carry that awareness of that divine within me? And it's when I stay grounded in my truth of who I actually am that our vision, my vision becomes of who I'm becoming. So I have a vision of who I want to be in this world, and I'm in motion with it. I'm stepping forward each day, learning, growing, and moving through it. So we are led by that vision, and that truth informs our every thought, word, and action, knowing that we are about our business. We are consciously loving and creating and getting to work implementing a world that works for all. So in thinking about this, there came up with some ideas. And as the first question is, well, who are we? And what are we going to do about it? So with that, it shows up in the world as we deepen our understanding of this teaching. We notice our focus evolving from getting to having to being. And remember, Reverend, a few weeks back, Reverend Savannah talked about those different kingdoms of consciousness. So as we move into the being, the wholeness of good, the love of God, the givingness of God is available to us at all times. And it's available to us as much as we believe. And I know sometimes that can be a big word or understanding. It's like, well, I don't know how much do I believe. But the thing is, again, what we talked about last week when we were talking about trying not to figure everything out, working towards letting that go and surrendering and following through with that intuition that we have. And two, what happens is Emerson termed a term called divine discontent. And what that does is pushes us through into a greater action. And then that brings about the compassion, because then compassion pulls us into that conscious connection through cooperation and energy in all our different relationships. And it can be on all different sorts of relationships, interpersonal, our own relationship with self, our relationship with our immediate family, our relationship with our friends. So, and two, it's about showing compassion to people in the world and where we are. I talked to you a little bit about what I've been working on and called positive intelligence. So we have a meeting every week, kind of like a little pod. So we were actually talking about compassion and tuning into that sage person of ourselves and employing that compassionate self and that empathy as well. So one of the fellows was telling us a story about how he went into the grocery store, him and his partner, and something happened, and the manager came out and was like, it was like a full-on attack on this couple. He felt like it was. And his normal stance would to puff up and, you know, like, all right, well, if you're going to be like that, this is how I'm going to be, and you know, you can't talk to me this way and blah, blah, blah. But from what he was learning in our positive intelligence, he stopped, he took a breath, and he said to the gentleman, I'm sorry you're hurting. Because that's what was happening. I actually have God bumps all over thinking about that. And then what happened is they had a bit of a conversation. And what happened from there is the gentleman opened up and said, I was thinking of committing suicide this morning. Like all that from an interaction with a stranger in a grocery store. You know, we hear that all the time that we don't know what somebody else is going through. So it's being aware, and even ourselves. Sometimes we have those thoughts, those dark thoughts, those things that are pulling us through. And yes, we're in a spiritual community, and then I start shitting all over myself that, you know, I shouldn't have this thought. I shouldn't be this way. I'm spiritual. I should have everything all figured out. And again, going back to that last week, it's not worrying about always figuring it out. It's just making that move of having that faith. Stepping in and letting go of that fear and letting love move us through. Letting love move us through. And the world, it's rapidly changing. And so what are we going to do about it? Well, I think it's that moving into that next question of how do we move from survive mode to thrive mode? Because that's what we're all here meant to be. That goodness that we were each born with is always there within us. And we just forget. We forget that little child within us that is just beautiful and shining and bright. And it's always there. It comes with us. And we just get to parent it now a little differently. We get to parent it now a little differently than maybe how it was parented before. Again, going back to this, just because I'm in it. So we had last week also, we had to take a picture of ourselves. I think I talked a little bit about my little girl with the no teeth. As I'm still learning how to re-talk people. This thing in my mouth is still freaking me out a little and tongue's not hanging in. But it was amazing looking at that little girl with the no teeth and the gummy smile and realizing that little girl's still right here right now. And what does she want to express into the world? And how can I stop telling myself those stories of the past and move into the now? The life of what I have, what I'm moving through, and how fortunate I have become because of those challenges that little girl had. This is who I am today. That calling from sitting in the chair, whether it's practitioner training or becoming a minister, when all of a sudden I saw my head on Reverend Terry's body going, this is you up here. I know it's a very scary thought, but anyways. But that it pulled me forward into something new and into that what is next, what is mine to do, and how do we move through this? There's so many things. And it's time to stop telling ourselves the stories. I don't know about you, but I have quite a few little stories that go on in my head. Who do you think you are? Nobody else in your family does this. Why are you doing this? What do you really have to say? Blah, 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 right? Or is it? No, that's the teacher from Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 right? So it's time to start telling myself a new story. You're fully capable. You are one, you know, you have intuition. You can follow it. You can do something. And that's just not for me. This is for each one of you. Each one of you, there is that creative spark, that divine essence that is just waiting to explore. I think we have a writer in the group here. We have teachers. What do you, each of you as teachers are out there teaching the world, these young children, teaching them in a different way. How fabulous is that? It's those gifts that everyone has, and it's finding out how do we express those gifts more fully each day. And we have people in our group here that maybe you're in retirement age and you're like, oh, well, what do I still have to offer? There's a lot. Just your presence and your energy offers us a lot. And knowing that you as an elder are coming in and helping us move through whatever is next here and looking at our life in different ways. It's keeping ourselves open to new ways of thinking and moving forward into that thriving life. It's time to get out of the box and come up with new ideas. And allow that, because those new ideas are there. It's just when we take that time to get quiet and listen to them. Because how often I stop myself. So I'm saying me, I don't know if it's true for you, but I stop myself from doing something because that I think I tell myself a story that I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I'm not whatever it is. Oops, oh dear, it's okay. Ernest Holmes said, when our belief in God is greater than our condition, a healing occurs. And I was talking to somebody this morning who said they were reading The Science of Mind, and it was something very similar along that lines, that all of life is a condition. So it's when do we buy into that condition, or do we know that there is something greater out there? And we do know that. We know that truth of ourselves. We know that truth of every person that is here. So as a spiritual community, how can we help each other thrive? So I know my practitioners who meet monthly, one of the big conversations we've been having is how we talk about stepping out and getting out into the community. But what about even our own community right here? How are we supporting each other? Maybe there's people living on their own, facing health challenges, facing abundance issues. Maybe there's people doing things in their life that they need a little bit of help with. So how can we support our members so that they know that they're not alone? So, and our board, so we got our practitioners looking at our community base, and we have our board looking outside. Who can we tie to? Who can, like our fundraiser that's, I'm probably letting the cat out of the bag. Whoops, too early, no. May 11th. Dance party people. Anyway, yes. But who can we then give back to as we're raising these funds to help our center grow and make a change in the world? Who else can we help? Because that is what we're here to do, to spread the love, to spread the joy going through. Oh my goodness, my talk is going all over the place here. I don't know. What am I supposed to be saying now at this time? But, you know, I love this quote from Will Rogers. I know. Thinking of that Folsom Prison song that we had, I don't know, from one of our singers. Will Rogers said, even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. Right? Even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. And Thomas Roosevelt said, in any moment of decision, the best thing you can do is the right thing. The next best thing you can do is the wrong thing. And the worst thing you can do is nothing. Right? And when we do nothing, we're making a decision. We're making that decision of whatever it is not to deal with life or to deal with the situation that's going around you. So we move from thrive. We move from survive to thrive. And then we get into our piece of life where we chop wood and carry water. What? That Zen proverb, before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. And after enlightenment, chop wood and carry water, right? It's that divine, it's our awareness of the oneness that deepens the task at hand. The tasks don't change, but the consciousness that we bring to each thing changes and shifts. So we can have fun washing dishes. We can have fun doing whatever it is or bringing that joy of our life. When we ground in truth, it infuses our simplified acts with light that might save one life or save the world. Like my friend Graham, who was talking to that man. Like, I wonder how that changed his day. I'm sorry you're hurting. I still think that was so powerful. And just knowing that each of us here, as we're working through chopping wood, carrying water each day, that we're here to bring something new to the world. The insistence of a divine idea that is wanting to birth through us. And to surrender to that impulse, to that voice, that little voice inside of us says, yes, do this. Yes, do that. I mean, I know I wasn't in the teaching at the time, but I had the example of when I first met my husband, Tony, when I was the ripe old age of 20, which was only just yesterday. So, but the thing is, we'd met, I was engaged, and started dating Tony, and we'd only been dating not even 2 weeks, and he brings me to Kitsilano to the beach and flowers and blah, 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 and he says, I'm getting transferred to Toronto. Yeah, I know, right? And I just went, I sat in it for a moment, and I went, well, I can go with you. And he looked at me and he went, what? And I said, yeah, I can go with you. I don't have anything holding. We were actually both working for the same company. He was managing a men's clothing store. I was managing a women's. So we were able to make that transfer. And so, yeah, I won't tell you that we moved in right away together, which we did, sorry. And my mother was like, what if he's an axe murderer? You've only been dating him 2 weeks. I'm like, it's okay, Mom. Trust, trust, trust. I know it's good. And here we are. Okay, that was 1986. Oh, now I just gave away my, anyways, that's a long time ago. That was a long time ago, but here we are. And, you know, we're in a place in our life. We have two lovely children, a beautiful home. We have a community around us. We're both doing jobs that we love. And when I go back and think of that little girl, the life that I'm living right now, I never thought was possible. I never thought was possible. But yet here I am living it. And it is, I know deep down that it is this belief in this truth of knowing who I really am, this source of the divine, this human, right? I'm this spirit having this human experience, as each of you are. And I'm sure you can all think of times in your life that something that didn't make sense that you said yes to. Yes? Did people? Yeah? Right? And things shifted. It opened up. I was talking to a friend the other day, and they were shutting some doors on some things and closing down ideas that they had. And then sure enough, something dropped into their lap. Something shifted in their life, and another door opened that they could go through. So I have a question for you to think about this week. What items are on your bucket list that would stretch you into a bigger and better expression of yourself? What things are on your bucket list that would stretch you? So, you know, I think give that as homework this week, about thinking about what could you do differently this week to stretch yourself. So I wanted to end with, I have a few things I want to end with, but anyways, I'm going to start with this. Ernest Holmes has the Jill read from this thing called You, but I like this little book called It's Up to You. And at the back of the book, he has 10 rules or ladder steps to live, 10 steps in personal achievement. How do you build a ladder of personal achievement, he says? There are 10 steps which I believe will help you live happily and successfully, and in doing so, help you help others in the glorious game of living. In the glorious game of living. So he said, let's start with number one, overcome negative attitudes. Your basic thought moving forward would be, I can, I know I can. I have to give that little engine that could. I think I can. Because those negative thoughts produce negative results. So let's move our way into overcoming our negative mental attitudes. Step number two, learn to stop worrying. He says, in the first place, worry is an acquired habit. Oh. You mean when I was at waiting for my son to come home as I was getting up and worrying? That's a little acquired happy. When you don't worry, you know, you think about it as a child, you didn't worry, right? You just went out and did your thing. You played, you did that whole piece of living your best life. Then number three, where is number three? Number three, overcome any sense of inferiority. Oh, I didn't say that word right, but anyways, you guys know what I mean. To begin, realize life has made you a little different from everyone else. You don't have to imitate anyone. You can learn from others, but each one of us are unique and have that gift to bring that is special. And that is what's exciting. Imagine if we were all the same. It would be rather boring. Number four, he said, think about your personality. It is through your personality that all outside contacts are made. Your personality has its root in a divinity within you, God who is present everywhere. That divinity that is in you. We always admire capable people, but the ones we really love are the ones who bring joy and happiness into our lives. The ones who bring joy and happiness into our lives. Oh gosh, I'm only at number five. Learn to make your work easy. Get up in the morning thinking, I'm doing this thing and doing it with joy. Number six, count your blessings. I love this. This is another piece of homework, people. Did you ever make an inventory of all the good things in your life? Okay, let's do that. Write them down and see how much you actually have to be thankful for. Step number seven, learn how necessary it is to forgive both yourself and others. Did not the great teacher say, forgive and ye shall be forgiven? You cannot be a radiant personality if you hold grudges or resentments in your mind. Forgiveness. Step number eight, get along with others. And I like how he says, how can you get along with others unless you first learn to get along with yourself? See the good in yourself and others and then build on this. So that goes back to what I was talking about, that compassion, showing up in compassion. Okay, number nine, I love this one. Take prayer and affirmative meditation into your personal achievement. Prayer is not something that should be reserved for emergencies of life alone. It's not that vending machine. It is, it's both skill and an art. Okay, and the last one is get the most out of your spiritual community. He says, when people are gathered together in prayer and meditation, a field of faith is created, which multiplies the faith of each individual member, and we can react on all who are gathered together. So he says, your ladder is pretty complete now, but like all ladders, it is meant to be climbed. Thank you, Ernest Holmes, for giving us some simple things. It's not anything we haven't all heard before, is it? Right? But it's taking those steps, climbing that ladder one rung at a time throughout the day. So as we end today, this portion of our gathering, I feel heavily in quotes here at the end, but I just love this by Mary Oliver. And it's just a question she has from the summer day. Tell me, what is it that you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? What is it that you plan to do with this precious life? So with that ends the lesson, and I'll take it into prayer. So as we know that there is one life, one love, one universal divine mind that is operating right here, right now, that creative spark, that fire that is within each of us, expressing as our uniqueness in this human form. As each fingerprint is different, what we bring into this world is different. So today we step into that newness, into that different choice of life, of love, of expressing the divine good that is always available to us. We step out of condition and know that the universe has our back, that God is always there, and that we are one with that mind, that source of endless possibility, of love, of joy, of abundance. So today I claim those God qualities as my own, and I claim them for each of you. So today I love the life that I am living in this moment, in this present moment. I stop worrying about creating a better past, creating a better future. I just stay present to what is right here and in front of me. And I move forward in that, knowing that I am fully guided, fully supported at all times. So I am grateful for this day, for this teaching of knowing this truth, of grounding in truth of who I truly am. So I let these words go to that law of mind that always says yes. Always says yes. I let it be. I let it go. And ask you to release these words with me in saying, and so it is.